Morning, church. Today I'll be leading you into two scriptures, yeah? First of all, Galatians 5, 22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Secondly, I'll be leading you into Acts 7, 54-60. Just give me time to get there. So yeah, sorry, Acts 7, sorry. There we go. The stoning of Stephen the martyr. When the members of the Sanhedrin heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God. And Jesus, standing at the right hand of God, look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. At this, they covered their ears, and yelling at the top of their voices, they rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of the young man named Saul. While they were still stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he had said this, he fell asleep. Now let us pray. Lord, thank you for the faith that Stephen showed you. Even at the point of death, he still was willing to exert the fruit of your spirit. He still acknowledged that you were God eternal. And he even asked for you to forgive them for their sins, Lord. May we also have that compassion as brothers and sisters in you. With those who are suffering persecution across the world, Lord, may you let them exert the fruit of the Spirit as well. For them to have compassion and love with each other, Lord. For them to have forbearance. For them to have long-suffering, God. For them to really hold on to you and seek you, Lord. Here it may be easy, but Lord, there's also a spiritual battle at hand. And let us also cope with that, Lord. May you lead us and guide us and protect us. And let our hearts be receptive of the sermon this morning, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks so much, David. So lovely to see you all. This is one of the wonderful views in the church. Just welcome if it's your first time, and if you've been here many times, it's so good to see you this morning. You know, we've been looking at the fruit of the Spirit, and as we were just worshiping and seeing you, that kind of love is welling up again, and I'm thinking about the joy of being able to partner with all these organizations and people and be able to give our gifts today. And today, we're particularly thinking about peace. A bit like Becca looking back to that verse at the beginning of the year that God spoke to her about. At the end of last year, God really spoke to me through a line in a book that I was reading. The book was called A Life with God. And in the book, Richard Foster, who wrote it, described a life with God like this. He said, it is a life of unhurried peace and power. It is solid. It is serene. It is simple. It is radiant, it takes no time, though it permeates all our time. And I remember reading it, I remember the very place I was when I read it, and it deeply impacted me. Because when I read it, I knew it didn't describe my life. You know, when I read it, I was hurried. I lacked peace, I was stressed, I was exhausted, my life felt a long way from solid and serene. It felt like the COVID crisis particularly, and other challenges as well, had left me feeling more fragile and edgy rather than solid and serene. I don't know, do you ever feel like you can relate to that? Perhaps you even feel like that. Perhaps you felt like I did at the end of last year, where it's like, I'm meant to be helping others, and I'm kind of shouldn't let on that I kind of feel like this. Perhaps even on a day like today, when we're trying to think about how we help and think about the needs of others, it's maybe challenging to recognize and acknowledge our own struggles. But you know, the reason I was so impacted by the quote is because when I read that, not only did I think this doesn't describe my life at the moment at the end of last year, but I read it and I thought I long for it to. I read that and thought that's what I want my life to be like. You know, and this is what the Fruit of the Spirit series that we're in at the moment is all about. It's about how do we have a life like that with God? How do we have a life of love and joy and peace and all those other wonderful fruit of the Spirit that we've been hearing about? You know, I was thinking about all this yesterday afternoon at about 5 o'clock when, having been down on the beach and swimming and paddleboarding with the family, we realized that we didn't have keys to get back inside. I really didn't have many clothes even. We had the kind of laundry drying outside in our courtyard, so that was at least something, but... you know, I'm thinking I got no trousers for the service, no shoes. My message I could see through the window. I don't have my phone. Thankfully, I think Amy had some money. And you know what? I felt so peaceful. I thought, I feel so different than I did at the end of last year. You know, it was a bit of an adventure as a family. You know, I was glad that eventually I managed to find shoes that fitted me. Dan Sweet kindly brought them this morning to the service. You know, I thought what a wonderful thing peace is. Last night we stayed at Laura's sister's house, the other side of Brighton, and just... They had a view of the sunset. Our house, you don't really get to see the sunset. I sat and watched the sunset and just prayed for you guys and for this service. Prayed for us to know a peace, whatever you're going through. You know, in some cultures, peace is like this greeting or blessing that they say, peace be with you. In Hebrew, peace, the word shalom, means kind of more than even just peace of heart, kind of looking at a sunset. It means kind of a deep peace and wholeness and a kind of right relationships with God and others. It's a wonderful word. I wonder this morning, how is your peace? And my hope and prayer is that this message, this service, will help us know a peace even, and today I want to talk about how a time of seeming crisis can also be a time of peace. So let me start with crisis. Because our security is threatened. I don't know if you've felt that when you read Acts 7, but it certainly looks like Stephen's security is being threatened. He has this kind of angry mob in verse 54. It says that they... let me find it now as well. It says that they were furious and gnashed their teeth at them. He'd been doing that kind of speaking truth to power, and they didn't like it. He'd been talking to the religious people about what God is like and about who Jesus is, and they were not happy. In fact, just a few verses later, it says this, verse 57, they covered their ears, they didn't want to hear it, and they yelled at the top of their voices, and they all rushed at him. They dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. Their threats that were thrown had now turned to stones that were thrown. And, you know, this is right at the point in the beginning of the book of Acts where the work of God has kind of been ramping up. God's been doing some amazing things as we were hearing last week. And yet as the work of God was ramping up, so too was the work of the enemy. That often happens in our world. You know, stones come in all different kinds. Whether indirect or direct, whether physical or metaphorical in some ways, you know, we're in a battle. We sometimes forget that. Many of our brothers and sisters around the world are reminded of that daily. But it is no less true here. And we are one with them. They're our brothers and sisters, so we are in a battle with them. You know, and sometimes, like this crowd, there's a real fury about the enemy's attack. I wonder this morning, are you aware of the stones? The stones of the enemy, maybe in your own life, maybe in the lives of those you love, maybe even as we've been thinking and watching that video just now about the persecuted church, about those around the world who are facing the stones in the enemy's attack. You know, I think it would be fair to say that Stephen was in what we would call a crisis. His security seemed very threatened, his life even. You know, the dictionary defines a crisis as a time of intense challenge or danger. And I was thinking back through these years and how we seem to have gone kind of from one crisis to another. Do you kind of relate to that? The COVID crisis that we've been in as a world has not kind of seen the kind of visible stones thrown, but almost like this unseen virus has been pounding people's lives and livelihoods and loved ones. And even though you and I might feel that that's easing at the moment around the world, that is still being felt massively. And I think even here, if we were honest, we're still feeling the effects. I know still people who are ill in the church with COVID right now. Still people who are feeling the effects. I watch and listen to our mission partners like the Danny and Amsala from Ethiopia, who's describing that four of his relatives had actually been killed through COVID in the last few years. And I think of the news, even this morning I was reading about North Korea, a place which is now experiencing a kind of huge COVID crisis with no vaccinations, no really functioning healthcare system. I'm thinking, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. We need your peace. Lord, bring your peace. But I think for many, one of the impacts has been the mental health crisis that it's brought about in so many places, the trauma that we've been through. The isolation, you know, this week is Mental Health Awareness Week. I wonder if you were aware of that. And actually the theme for this year is loneliness. Why? Because loneliness is at epidemic proportions in our nation. You know, whether young or old, it's there for both. And Stephen, in our reading, you know, he seems very alone, doesn't he? It seems like the whole kind of world is against him. And one of the things that can make mental health challenges so much worse is we feel often so isolated and alone in it. And one of the big themes of this week is to help people realize you're not alone. And I just want to encourage you here in this church, if you are struggling with mental health issues, I want you to know you're not alone. There are others in this church who also have struggled and do struggle. You are not alone. You know, this COVID crisis has worsened the mental health crisis in our nation, which was already there. We need peace. Lord, would you bring your peace? You know, just as some of the news about COVID started coming out of the news, what happened? Russia invaded Ukraine. For the last 2 months, it's virtually filled our news every day. Troubling headlines, footage, and stories. You know, I think again of the stones that were thrown at Stephen. And I think about the missiles that have been thrown at some of these Ukrainian cities. You know, bombardment, devastating the lives of people just like you and I. You know, I've been so thankful as we've been praying in these weeks and thinking about the work of different organizations that we've supported and partnered with for many, many years. Been so thankful for the things they're doing, like BMS, who have been at the Baptist ceremony in Warsaw, taking in refugees. I'm so thankful that some of our giving today is going towards BMS to help in that work and other work. I think of organizations like Tear Fund and Open Doors, who we've been hearing about, who we give towards and have done for many years, and our giving today will impact them. And particularly I think about Operation Mobilization, OM, where, you know, Mike, who's on the sound desk today, and his wife Nelia, who work at mobilizing missionaries across Latin America, many of whom go to some of the neediest areas around the world, and Jamie and Michaela, who we've been had the privilege these last couple of weeks of having some time with. They also work with OM, and I watched this week OM video about some of what they're doing in Ukraine, some of the work that we have already given towards and will continue to give towards, and this, Ben, is some of that. Let's see it together.
If you stay in house and you listen something, bomb and gas and everything, and the signal, and it's so difficult. And you must go to underground every 1 hour.
You understand that you can't do anything. So you are now in this moment, the bomb can come to your house, and you understand that you can die every moment. We've been just trying to be in a safe place.
So I'm afraid about my children, so I'm afraid about my life, about them life. And it's so dangerous, and this is so difficult, how many people's families saying goodbye, bye, or maybe never see you, and how many women cry. It's war.
When the war started, first reaction is unbelievable. It's just unimaginable. And then our heart sunk when we saw the massive flood of Ukrainian refugees into Poland.
When I heard of the war breaking out, my first reaction was to pray. And then it was clear that we also need to respond in action that expresses God's love.
We're here on the Polish-Ukrainian border.
We are here at the Moldovan-Ukrainian border.
We have a trailer set up just to have a resting place for women with children.
And we set up here a tent, and we are serving people with water, hot drinks, and some food.
This old tent runs 24 hours. I probably have not seen such a concentrated area or so many people in need in one place.
You know, I watch that and I think, such need. And such a privilege through our praying and giving to partner with what they're doing in these places. You know, the crisis continues, the needs continue. Our world needs peace. Lord, bring your peace. You know, we need to keep just being attentive to how we can help and what we can do. And one of the things that I find as I reflect on that and the crisis in Ukraine, I'm so aware that actually what it's done is it's not affected just people in Ukraine, but actually it's affected the whole world. We have a crisis that's in our news regularly at the moment, a cost of living crisis. I'm sure we all feel it. I can see heads nodding even as I look around now. You know, bills that are spiraling upwards, and we don't kind of know quite how far they'll go. Squeeze that we feel in how we're living and operating day by day. You know, I want to pause here because this is a very real thing for us as we come to a gift day today. You know, I'm very aware that I can, in this part of the world, be in danger of doing what I think is our kind of go-to place for security, and that's I look to my finances. That's what we're kind of encouraged to do in the West, aren't you? You know, how secure are you? Well, you know, have you got a job and a home and something in your bank balance? Or that's where we often look to for our security. And I was thinking about this last week. Tim spoke about joy, and he said, you know, if God wants us to have joy, and we want to have joy, you know, why is it so often elusive? Could it be that we're looking in the wrong place? And you know, that struck me as something you could say about peace, too. Look, God wants us to have peace, does he not? Amen, he does. Do you and I want peace? Yes, we do. So why is it so elusive so often? Could it be because we are looking for it in the wrong places? We think if we have our finances sorted, or we have some money in savings, or we have a home, and if we have a holiday planned, and if we have a doing well with our kind of performance, and you know, even doing some good deeds, we kind of look and think those are going to be the places that bring us security. That was part of my problem at the end of last year. I'd been really trying to work hard and do things and be good, and my performance kind of was something that I was kind of thinking was going okay. And then when it wasn't, well, when it was, the danger is pride. And when it isn't, then there's insecurities and fear. And you start hurrying around from this to that. And God was revealing, David, you got your security in some shaky places. I don't know where you've got your security in, but if it's in any of those things, it's in a shaky place. So how does the story of Stephen help us to find our security in a much stronger place? And how do we, as we think about even all our brothers and sisters around the world, how do we think about our persecuted brothers and sisters in a way where not just do we think, how can we help them? But did you notice at the end of the Open Doors video, it talks about how they can help us to live lives that follow Jesus, whatever the cost. One of the most moving times for me in the last couple of weeks was when we were in a prayer time for those in Afghanistan. And there was a video shown about a lady called Gulshan, a believer in Afghanistan. And I can't show you the video because she speaks in Arabic. And the subtitles, though, if you've got them on your screen right next to you, you can see them. You wouldn't be able to see them from about halfway back the church. So let me just give you a little taste of her story. Gulshan's one of our brothers and sisters, well, one of our sisters in Christ in Afghanistan. She says the reality is that the Taliban are going house to house looking for Christians so they can kill them, and she never knows when someone's going to basically tell on her that she's a Christian. So she lives in a huge insecurity about whether she's going to lose her life. She also lives with this reality that in North Korea, in Afghanistan at the moment, particularly for people like her, that there's such huge economic crisis that she said that her and her family have been living off one bowl of lentils for the last 3 days. And then she said this. She said, Jesus has called us to bear much suffering. She went on and said, when people did not spare Christ, why would they spare us? And I thought, this sister is so inspiring in her expectation of what following Jesus means. And it broke me and humbled me. I realized I so often have my expectations all wrong. I think that's what kind of living in this materialistic world we live in does. It kind of makes us think our expectations should be X, Y, Z. Finding our security in things and stuff. You know, what I have, I realized as I listened to Gulshan, is not for me to find my security in. It's for me to share. That's why God's given me what I have. You know, Paul in 1 Timothy 6, he says some amazing words to Christians, to those who are rich. He command those, he says, who are rich in this world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. That is true. But to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is really life. You know, so this gift day is an opportunity for us to do not what the world around us says to do, but to put our trust in, not in money, but in something far more certain. To look at Stephen again and think, how does this man, in this seeming crisis with these stones coming upon him, how does he have this amazing peace that we see and are going to read about in just a moment? How can a time of seeming crisis and real pain be also a time of real peace? And that's where I want to come just lastly as we look at this. Look with me at verse 55 and 56. Because Stephen has found a security somewhere, in fact in someone, which is completely assured and never threatened. Hallelujah! Don't you want to know where that is? Look with me in Acts 7, verse 55. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, take note, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Stephen actually isn't looking at the stones. He's looking at the Lord who's over the stones. He's looking at the one who conquered death, the risen Prince of Peace in heaven. And the peace of heaven is kind of invading earth through Stephen. It's like the peace of heaven is descending around and in and through Stephen's life. In a remarkable way, we read on and we see a kind of picture of a man at peace. You would kind of think, this man's not in a crisis. This man is just peaceful. And that's what we read in verse 59, that while they were stoning him, he prayed. I mean, that's amazing, isn't it? And look at what he prays. I can imagine him maybe praying, help, Lord, get me out of this, stop this. But look what he prays. He prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And then he fell on his knees and cried out, and this is staggering. He said, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he'd said this, he fell asleep. I mean, that's sometimes what you'd use of, oh, look, you know, that baby's just fallen asleep in his mother's arms, so peaceful. Or you know, that granddad fallen asleep after Sunday lunch, you know, on the sofa. One commentator, F.F. Bruce, says, it's an unexpectedly beautiful and peaceful description of so brutal a death. But why does the Bible use the word fall asleep? Well, because that is not the end. You know, it's not the end of Stephen's life. The Bible promises, if we're thinking about promises, that we are awaiting our resurrection when the whole of creation will be finally at peace. And that is where our secure hope is in. This wonderful picture of Stephen peacefully dying actually reminds us of where that security comes from, because Stephen is able to pray like he does because someone else has prayed for Stephen like that. The very one that Stephen's been looking at. Stephen's prayers echo Jesus' prayers. Jesus, the one who prayed on the cross, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing. And so from the cross flows forgiveness that impacts Stephen's heart, so he knows whatever he's done, he's secure right before God and able, as far as it depends on him, to be right and at peace with others. And then Stephen's life is able to be a channel. He even prays forgiveness for those who persecute him, because that's what's been prayed for him. Forgiveness from all the sin and greed and selfishness that so often dominates our lives. You see, from the cross, this amazing love and security, and then through the resurrection with the risen Lord Jesus, our Prince of Peace, and then the risen Lord Jesus sends his Spirit. The Spirit that we read in verse 54 was the one that filled Stephen. In fact, we read that earlier in Acts chapter 6, if you were reading through the book of Acts. This is the reality of a man who's received this fullness of the Spirit. And the Spirit so often is described in the Bible in ways that kind of speak of our security. So he's a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. The Spirit is an advocate, a comforter. The Spirit is the Spirit of sonship. And by him, we can cry, Abba, Father. We know we're God's children. If God be for us, who can be against us? Because we're secure. You know, brothers and sisters, on this gift day today, in our cost of living crisis that is very real, we won't find peace for this time of financial uncertainty in our savings, but rather in our Savior. Amen? Jesus said, John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So brothers and sisters, this morning, let's look like Stephen to Jesus. Let's ask his Spirit to come and fill us again, that we might see him and receive the fruit of his Spirit, peace, no matter what we're going through. You know, I said at the start about feeling I lack that unhurried peace and power. And you know, one of the things that God's been doing is really revealing to me how My pace and peace are connected, partly because my pace often reveals how secure I am in God. Am I just chasing, trying to just get everything done or be here or there? Or actually, do I know that I'm secure? It's not about my performance. Jesus, my Savior, has done it. He's done it for you. You know, sometimes we can kind of feel locked out of the kind of things that we think are going to give us peace. Like, you know, I could see my sermon notes and the kind of things on the dining room table through the window, and like, we can't get in. But you know what? What I needed for peace wasn't there locked inside the house. It was Jesus. Anytime I can simply look up to him and he gives peace. So what he has done for me, and he has wonderfully been doing this for me, of helping me be filled afresh with his Spirit, giving me his peace, showing me his pace, reminding me of his presence and his power and his love and of the security I have in him. And I believe what he's been doing for me, he can do for you too. So why don't we pray? I'm going to invite the band to come up. I'm just going to come down and just in this moment, I've been praying that there'd be a kind of an open heaven, like Stephen had, that we would somehow be able to see Jesus, that we'd be able to be still, even with all the kind of noise in our world, and receive from him his Spirit. I find that it often helps me to have my hands open in front of me as I think about receiving things from Jesus. And before we give, we definitely need to receive. So let's come and receive in this moment. Why don't you put your hands out, open in front of you if you feel able like that. And this is a symbol more than anything of us needing an open heart. An open heart to say, Jesus, I want more of your Spirit in my life. Come fill me. I want to know that security that comes from knowing your Lord and your love. I want your peace. So let's be still, and then I'm just going to lead us in a simple prayer. Jesus, we look up to you. We believe you're present here right now. Lord, we believe you're Lord with all authority and power. You're our Savior. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, pour out your Spirit upon us now. Fill me, fill us. Still our hurried hearts. Assure us of the security we have in you. Give us your peace. Make us channels of peace. Jesus, as we worship you, as we sing, we invite you, keep moving in this place. Keep moving in our lives, because our eyes are on you, for your name's sake. Amen.